Everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring Kate. Kate, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back world building with my tuners. Pete's going to follow me up. Go ahead.
Pete, what you got this evening?
Hey, did you notice that the first guest on the show was Bob the World Builder?
Was it really?
Okay. Seriously.
Sorry. So funny.
Kate said I needed a joke. That's all I've come up with.
And Steve, that there's nothing like a good joke, and that was nothing like a good joke.
No. That was a good dad joke.
Oh my god.
That's more funny.
we're not laughing with you, we're laughing at you. So
it's fine.
If you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. You got some great episodes coming up, including some Disney Plus premieres, and we're going to be diving back into the vault starting as early as next week. So for this week, we watched the Leslie Iwerks new documentary, Disney World Builders. This debuted at D23. Steve was lucky enough to be a part of the panel that saw it when it first came out. And it essentially...
Jealous.
Yes. And it essentially follows and tracked people who were responsible for different Disney franchises throughout the history, starting, I mean, they talked about the Toy Story, they talked about Star Wars, they talked about Frozen, they talked about Marvel, and how those translated then into their inclusion in the Disney parks. And that's parks all around the world. Zootopia was another one. So, showed some footage from the films, talked to them as far as about how they came up with both the idea for their movies and the ideas for what they were going to put in the lands. And then it showed some of the lands. So my question for you guys is, what told a great story? What about this documentary really, really worked? And Pete, I'll start with you.
I liked that they talked, that they made it so they were talking to people that were central to the creation of these stories. Now, I'm sure if you talk to any of them, they'll be the first ones to admit that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of people involved with creating, you know, Star Wars and Marvel and things like that. But these are really like, these were really, really big names, except James Cameron, who I think will take 100% credit for Avatar. But
I knew he would take 100% credit for everything.
I really liked that they talked to those people, and especially that they kind of like talked to, for some of them anyways, they talked about like their youth and what influenced them and how the Disney parks influenced them to where it led them. So I did enjoy that aspect of seeing these people and how they were influenced from a young age to become storytellers. So what about you, Steve? What did you like besides being in the room with all these people?
I liked when they were sort of telling their Disney story and how it connected to how they ended up telling the stories. Those are the segments I connected to the most. I feel like a highlight was the ones you could tell that they totally just loved what they were doing. The ones that stood out was probably, and I have to look up the names. Where's his name? Jared Bush and Dave Filoni. So Dave Filoni. It was the Pixar guy.
Yeah,
the first. Pete Docter.
Thank you. Like him, and then the last one.
That was Jared Bush.
Jared Bush. Just their just total joy of doing it, and then seeing those creations come to life in the parks, and seeing how people interact with the characters in the surroundings.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think that I would agree that the first guy, the Pixar guy, was probably to me, the most interesting of all of the segments, just because he actually gave a lot of his background on some of his story development, where he started with Toy Story and then how basically he's been with Toy Story throughout and been able to help continue to build the franchise for better or worse. But that was probably the best segment for me. We'll get to some of the other stuff in the next question. But yeah, that was probably what worked best for me was the first segment with the guy from the Pixar and the Toy Story video movies, and how he also talked within about how he was part of Monsters in that segment. So, Kate, what worked for you?
I think you guys kind of already said mine. I thought it was really interesting with like how these big, because these were very big names, got like their beginnings with Disney when they very first went to the parks. I was really touched. I don't remember the gentleman's name. I'm sorry. But when he was talking about Toy Story and bringing Toy Story Land to life, and when he saw his first time.
So guys, I'm going to, because my daughter said it to me, this is how you remember. She said, it's like you, except he's a doctor.
Oh, okay.
Pete, doctor.
I don't get it.
Oh. I'm Pete. He said he's like me, but he's a doctor. So he's Pete Doctor.
That's his name?
Yeah.
Got it. It makes sense now.
My daughter, we're watching it, and that's what my daughter turned and said to me. It's like, yeah, I'm not a doctor.
Perfect. Okay. I liked when he was like, the first time I saw Walk Around Woody, I cried. Like that, because there were parts of this, and I was glad they did this, that showed the importance of characters, of how bring the character to life in the parks. They touched on it just a tiny bit here and there. And it made me nostalgic for my old job. And I think, Steve, I think you're the one who, maybe Derek, that said their beginning stories, the pictures of them the first time they went to Disney. but then I would just laugh because then I would be like, yeah. And then I applied for this job as head creative designing writer on a brand new movie. And I was like, okay. All right. But I mean, I always am in awe of Jon Favreau and Ben Feige, and just the things that they have done and created. I did like when Kevin talked about how he was like, we're just going to make Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man may not do very well, but the Incredible Hulk is going to do real well because it was the exact opposite of like Hulk did not do well and Iron Man did best. So it was interesting. There were parts that were very interesting, and hearing their stories was interesting.
Okay. Well, if that what worked, and I'm going to ask for a stipulation before we get into the next section. Would we agree this was not made for the Disney fanatic?
Yes, I would agree. I think this is
Disney Parks fanatic.
It's not for a Disney Parks fanatic. I mean, it wasn't telling you details about the parks. It was telling you more about the experience that these people went through from telling a story and building a world to Disney then putting that world into reality, but without any of the Imagineering behind it. Right. I mean, it was just like, here's the park and here's Olaf and here's Anna and Elsa. And look, it looks like the movie, you know? So, yeah, I would agree.
Okay. So, with that stipulation put out there, what about this what tale wasn't quite developed? What did not quite work for this? And Steve, I'll let you start.
So I have two. The one that not hit with me is, with James Cameron and Avatar, it seemed so different than, for me, the other pieces. I'm not a big Avatar fan to begin with, so that could be part of it.
Exactly.
But also,
Diane's already like 10 years old.
And then I felt like with Bob Iger, him like starting and introducing is fine, but the last two segments I felt were so different than the other segments where it was the creator of this world and talk about how it came to life. So I feel like those pieces could have been removed and you'd have a stronger documentary.
Yeah, I would agree. I would also say that I wanted a little bit more background about the people and how they truly actually started in movies rather
than that.
Like the first guy, Dr. Pete Doctor talked about how, you know, his first job out of college was working on one of the animated Disneys, and then it kind of got worked into Toy Story, and then it kind of got, I mean, as opposed to, yeah, we have all of a sudden George Lucas trusted me with Star Wars. I'm going, and it's just kind of a case of, if you're going to talk about a world builder, tell me how you built your own world. Tell me about what other movies you were, I mean, even James Cameron, you know, tooting his own horn with Terminator and all that kind of stuff, did a little bit of that background. Yeah. And it's more, I want more how they started telling stories, not how they have finished telling stories.
But so. With John, the two Star Wars people, I found it interesting how they talked about it was not their story or their world. They sort of took ownership of it and had to continue to grow it. So I felt that part was interesting.
Yes, but again, I still want a little bit of the what else have they been a part of? Because his first thing was not Star Wars. So the other thing that didn't really work for me, and this is one thing I was coming into it maybe with the wrong expectations, or was I wanted at least some hint of footage we hadn't seen before. Some hint of something in the parks that had not been... Okay, other than the door coaster launch system that we had just been revealed the night before. But other than that, it was all... Especially the Avatar part felt so... Again, that land... Is that land 10-ish years old? So it's a case of you can't come up with anything better. And I honestly showed how much you're talking about, you know, Luke and Tatooine, and you're going back to Tatooine and all this. And it shows how much they screwed the pooch by not having Galaxy's Edge be Tatooine. But anyway, Kate, what didn't work for you? I've talked too much.
This was 53 minutes long, I think.
Yeah.
And they said a whole lot of stuff without saying anything at all. Like, I didn't leave this with, like, I wasn't entirely sure. I thought I was wrong. I thought this was going to be like, how did they build the world of Fantasyland? How did they build the world of Tomorrowland? So I didn't realize that it wasn't as in. I didn't realize it was more movie focused. So that was my fault going into it. But they said so much without saying anything. Like, literally anything. Go ahead, Derek.
That was also D23 Parks panel. But even, okay, show us how you built the lands you talked about, not just once they were done.
Yeah.
So,
they said so much. It was almost an hour long, and they didn't tell me how they came. The one that came, I guess, the closest was the Frozen one, where she talked about how they were going to make Elsa the villain, but then they talked about her sister, and then she introduced her own sister. But like, they didn't tell how did they come up with the idea for Toy Story. How did they come up with the idea for Zootopia? How, like, it just didn't tell me anything. So, and I was intrigued as I started watching this. I was like, oh, this is like, oh, Kevin Feige, oh, Jon Favreau, like, dang, like James Cameron. These are big names. And can't give me anything about like How did the idea of Toy Story come to be? Come from a kid wishing that his toys would, like, they said so much without saying anything. And I kept expecting it to get better. So, Pete, what do you think?
I mean, I think all you guys said it very well. It was rather shallow, and all these type of documentaries, whenever you have a Disney Parks documentary, there's always the pull between information and advertisement.
My one word I kept thinking was infomercial.
Yeah, and this one came, especially considering she did Imagineering Story, which if you go back and watch that one, yeah, there's a little bit of advertisement in there, but it's really informative and a lot of good information in it. This one, and the further it went, the more it just felt like, especially like the last 15 minutes, just felt like I was watching an ad for Disney properties.
Yep.
And, you know, when Bob Iger's walking around the desert saying, look at what we're going to be able to do here. You know, I'm like, do you want me to buy timeshare there already? Is that what you're selling, Bob?
It's coming. We all know it's coming, by the way.
DVC. Well, we still don't have one in Paris.
Because Paris.
I want my timeshare location in Paris, man. Way before I'm out in the desert. But anyways, it just felt very disappointingly more like an advertisement. I enjoyed watching it. I did, but like, it's not something I would ever revisit because it didn't really tell me a lot about Disney. It told me something a little bit about some, as I said, there were tidbits. Kate mentioned Jennifer Lee talking about her sister and how that kind of influenced the story of like things like that. It's like, yeah, give me more of that about like what inspired these people and what inspired the design and everything like that. Those little tidbits. I mean, even with like Zootopia, it's like, yeah, we went to Disneyland. We saw, oh, look, they got the drinking fountains for the little kids and the big people. So we incorporated that into the movie. You know, those little tidbits were interesting, but it wasn't enough.
Yep. James Cameron, like, what made you come up? Like, did you actually have a dream about a bioluminescent forest? Like, where did that idea? Because he was like, I had this idea and then I made it. It's like, were you tripping on mushrooms? Like, what gave you that idea? I don't know.
Not a mushroom trip. That's closer to LSD. But
perfect.
So, okay. So my next question is, of the franchises that have not yet been gifted their own land, I'm going to start with what is the next one that should have its own land? Okay. And yes, Kate, I'm going to let you start first anyway.
No, but I have a question.
Okay.
Does it have to be a franchise that is under the Disney umbrella?
For it to be a park at Disney, they either have to own it or they have to be able to buy it. So it's not Harry Potter.
Well, I would hope she would say Harry Potter. There's a whole bunch of those already.
There's a whole bunch of those.
Oh, I would say Lord
she's going to say Lord of the Rings.
I know she was.
I was going to say Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Who owns Lord of the Rings? Is 20th Century? Does
nobody yet. So the Tolkien family owns Lord of the Rings. They have not yet sold the rights to theme park.
And I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know that they will at this point, because I'm sure they have been offered more money than they would ever know what to do with.
So that was going to be my answer. But, and I did just send to my husband to ask if he knew who owns the franchise of Lord of the Rings. I think that you could do a cool, this is going to be a stretch. If we still had Streets of America. Oh, Casey says the Tolkien estate owns the overall. Okay.
Yeah.
If we still had Streets of America in, thank you. If we still had Streets of America, I would like a Newsies breakout. That is under Disney. That's Disney. You know what? I want to hold my answer because I can't think of any franchise that doesn't have a spot in the park. So, Pete, you go.
am I wrong to want a Muppets Land, like an actual Muppets Land, not one show or one ride?
Yep.
That would be something I would love to see, is like, you know, like a similar to what they showed with Zootopia, right? Have a Muppets Land, and then you could have animatronics of the characters coming out of the windows and like talking to people and things like that. And I think that would be,
or oh wait, they've done that.
That was a great show that right. was in a stupid place. Yeah. So that's mine, Steve.
I can't think of one. I think one that might work for fans is The Nightmare Before Christmas. There's a huge following. I mean, it wouldn't excite me, but.
But don't they somewhat do that already with Haunted Mansion at Disneyland?
That's what I'm thinking. Since that's such a huge hit, there would definitely be a draw.
Okay. For me, okay, Gina, I'm going to have you add a question here in just a little bit. But it would be, I would want to do like Pirates, but make it a whole Pirates Land.
Okay. Oh, I like that idea.
And put Jake and the Neverland Pirates in there.
I wouldn't hate that. To be perfectly honest, I would not hate that there, especially if you're building a new park area, especially in like, this would be one for like Dubai. That's where you put both Pirates of the Caribbean and Peter Pan and the Jake and the Neverland Pirates and Treasure Island and all of those pirates that have been so throughout Disney's franchises. Do a Pirates Land. Okay, Kate?
Okay, I think, so I want to amend my answer. I would love a Disney Junior Land, like an actual land for littles that has all the Disney Junior. You've got the Sophia the First, you've got the Little Einsteins, you've got Doc McStuffins. But the problem is, they cycle through those shows so quickly that it wouldn't work. But I would love, like, I would love to be able to have, like, a Bear in the Big Blue House puppet that you can meet, where you can meet Bear in the Big Blue House. Something that that's more geared toward, I mean, I've done some stuff at Legoland. I DJed for Legoland for a while, and watching, like, the pig and how much people love the Peppa Pig Land. I would love, like, a designated spot that gives more than just like, here, you can meet generic Fancy Nancy, and like actually have like, I don't know, maybe that's weird.
Okay. I've got one that I think is wasted in the current park it is, and I think Disney would have claim to its rights if it really wanted to. I think Disney needs to grab Sesame Street away from Orlando SeaWorld, since they own the Muppets, and do a proper
hell yes Sesame Street. Yes, yes,
with Oscar popping up at random intervals.
And yes, yes,
it's because I'm sorry, SeaWorld has wasted that area.
Yeah.
World, it's wasted.
And I mean, then they, I mean, and this is like pseudo gossip, like they haven't paid the rights for SeaWorld anymore. So SeaWorld has filed a lawsuit, or Jim Henson Studios or whatever has filed a lawsuit against SeaWorld because they're not paying for the rights, the licensure, whatever. I mean, can you imagine right. like Universal not paying Disney to use Marvel? Disney pounce on us so hard.
I mean, let's face it, that would tie in. Then you could tie Sesame Street as one block in your Muppets Land.
Yeah, yes. I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah, Disney
shown up on used to Kermit used to be on Sesame Street.
Right. So Disney does not own Sesame Street, though.
Right, but with the Muppets rights, but, it wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think Disney could get the rights to it. I think that when you just said that, I was thinking the same thing. It's like you have a Muppets land, and then you have a part of that that's going to Sesame Street, and so you have the Sesame Street characters with the Muppets characters. Yeah, yeah. Sure, why not?
So yeah. Okay, guys, I'm going to throw in a question that we didn't have prep for. What land would you fix? Okay, you're given a budget. Okay, and you cannot count the new Cars Land at Disney World. Okay, you can't turn that into Radiator Springs. I'm going to say, just because we don't know that it's bad enough to need a true fix, but there are lands that need fixing. What land? And it doesn't have it. No, it doesn't have to be necessarily a themed to a story land. What land? Because I know, you know, Tomorrowland at Disneyland's getting, quote, a makeover, which has basically tells me it's going to have fresh paint. They're going to wipe out the performance area. I mean, because, you know, more space and updated color scheme. That tells me what that. But what land in, and I'm going to say in the U.S. parks, what land would you fix? Kate, do you want to go first? You want me to pass it to Pete?
I mean, you kind of said mine would be Tomorrowland.
In which park?
It's not tomorrow.
Okay.
But I think I can do better than that. So skip me and go to Pete first.
Yeah, I was thinking Tomorrowland, but I got to go with, it's a pretty great land, but could we have put Star Wars Land in the Star Wars movies? I'm not the first person to ever say
like 4, 5, and 6.
Well, whatever movies you want to set it in, it should have been set in a movie. The reason Cars Land works isn't because all us adults love the Cars franchise. It's because it's transporting us into the movie. Same thing. They show us all these lands, Frozen, transporting us into the movie. Zootopia, into the movie. Star Wars Land, I'm going to some planet I've never been to in the movies, or even the animated series or something, you know. And they're trying to fix that in California by saying, okay, we're going to put Han Solo next to the Millennium Falcon. But it's still, if I had been walking into the movies when I did this, whether it was even, you know, Episode 7
or wherever.
Yeah. I think it would have been a more magical than it was. I mean, it's not a real fixable thing now, but because like, what's the most amazing thing? It's walking up to the Millennium Falcon and going, okay, oh my God, it's the Millennium Falcon.
Could you just paint it tan and call it Tatooine?
Yeah, put a couple domes. Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
Sam. I'm gonna go with Tomorrowland. I think they should do it like Fantastic Four, sort of this retro, where it might last longer, right? Because or you have to do like Paris says, do that Jules Verne version of outer space, something that will last many years.
Okay, Kate, any ideas?
I have two. I would love for them to redo all of the boulevard where Tower of Terror is, and make it have more streetmosphere of that 1920s. Besides
the people that they got rid of.
Yes. Yeah, but make it a little bit more geared toward the hotel. Have a dead. Have a bar that is the Kit Kat or the Tip Top Club would have been in. You can't obviously do it at the top of the ride, but like somewhere in, almost like a speakeasy in that walkway. Have streetmosphere characters, almost like how they do in Galaxy's Edge, where they have like What's her name? Earl, who's running away from not Ray, the other one. Vi.
Yeah.
Anyway, she runs away from the stormtroopers, right? Have some cops who are out looking for those.
Okay.
Alcohol peddling.
Sure, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Sure, but like, make that more immersive into the Hollywood Tower Hotel lore. The only other one is open an Avengers campus at Epcot.
Which they can't. But
I know they can't, but that would be the only other. I did want to add in, I forgot about this IP, and I know that this does have this at a little bit at World and a little bit at Land, but have a whole Indiana Jones area.
Okay.
Okay, none of you agree with me. That's fine.
No, I
would love an Indiana Jones area.
That's not terrible.
Like where you can do excavations and you can, and same type of thing where there's like bars and people who, yeah, all that stuff. Anyway,
you know where
except no Nazis.
Money's made is the alcohol. So,
I mean,
I've got a couple. I'm still not convinced that they're not going to turn. Once Villains Land pops up, that the new villains show that's there right now isn't going to turn into Muppets 3D and they blow Muppets area back that direction. I'm not convinced that's not going to happen. So that would be one area. I would love another, I think we need a couple more countries in World Showcase. Including, I would love to have the where they talked about bringing in Switzerland and build the Matterhorn.
Oh,
but
yes.
The one I would fix, and seeing Gina's reaction in the background is going to be interesting, and Steve, your reaction too. Critter Country is terrible at Disneyland.
What
Critter
is
Country
it?
Right now, Critter Country right now is Tiana's Bayou and a really bad Winnie the Pooh is Critter Country. And I mean a really bad Winnie the Pooh ride.
It's like a dead inn in the park.
There's a candy shop too.
Yeah, so you eat your Tinkertail.
Yeah, except it's not dead inn because you have to walk through it to get to Star Wars. That's anyone goes there. but either theme it to something that's not Critter Country, because let's face it, Tiana's is no longer Splash, because they're not going to change Tiana's again. I mean, not for the foreseeable future.
Well, and now Tiana's fits into New Orleans Square.
Yes, which it's not next to.
You could expand that entire area into New Orleans Square, or
if you're gonna do Critter Country, truly do some of the other critters. Throw some Bugs Life stuff there. That wouldn't be a bad area for that stuff. If you're going to do Critter Country, do that. Do some of the other... throw Brother Bear in there. I throw Fox and the Hound in. I don't care, because there's a nice, happy Disney story.
Could you imagine all the kids crying coming off the Fox and the Hound dark ride?
Into the old Yeller gift shop.
Can you imagine all the parents coming off that ride crying? Everybody's crying.
and if nothing else, please fix your Winnie the Pooh ride. Because the Winnie the Pooh ride at Disney World follows the Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day into the rainy story. It follows that story. And you have the bounce with Tigger, and then you have the float, and then you have the moving with the Heffalumps and Wizzles at Disneyland. All it does is the kind of floaty motion the entire way through, and it's in no discernible order.
but Derek, we got to have something at Disneyland that's worse than the Disney World version. So I disagree. That ride needs to stay the same. And at least us Florida folks can point at and go, yeah, you got the best pirates and you got the best Space Mountain. But your Winnie the Pooh stinks.
And this is a hot take that Gina will not agree with, that when it's not in its holiday overlay, I like Magic's Haunted better than Disneyland's Haunted. I like, because I main thing, the big difference on that one is I like the MC Escher staircases that you guys don't have. And the only difference used to be, we have the Hatbox Ghost. Well, so do we now. So it's for once, it's a Magic Kingdom is more developed than the Disneyland one.
All right. So. And if I'm like, you're talking about fixing some, you know, areas as opposed to lands. We got to mention Gina's, and because I'm 100% agreement with this, she says fixing Imagination, which I hope they aren't. I hope this isn't one of the things from D23 that gets canceled.
Oh, you mean like the? Oh no, what's going to get canceled is the fourth announcement of Spaceship Earth fix.
Right.
Without it changing,
they better not mess with Spaceship Earth. That they already took away my great movie ride. Don't mess with Spaceship Earth.
No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So Kate apparently didn't watch our show.
I did not. I'm sorry.
They are going to be changing Spaceship Earth to more of
Human Connection.
Human Connections. In other words, they're basically going to be updating it from the moon landing on, is the impression I get. So, you know, you're not going to have computers or as big a house or an Apple IIe, and that's as far as technology goes. So,
where are they going to do that?
There's room on the downhill.
Oh, so they're not going to have you see the Earth like they did?
No, they're not going to have you push all the buttons that don't work. And technology that was really cool 20 years ago when it first came out.
So they're still going to have you going backwards, but they're going to have stuff now?
That would be my guess.
We don't know the specifics.
We have no idea. So, and I don't know if you also heard that they are, in theory, bringing back Dreamfinder. So... So anyway, any other thoughts on Dream Builders, or are we ready to throw our pixie dust ratings out there?
I have a question for Steve. Did you actually watch the whole 53 documentary?
So this was a 2-hour panel. The first hour, they had Pete Doctor. They had John Favreau. They had the other Star Wars guy. They had Kevin Feige. And then they had the last guy, the Zootopia guy. So that was an hour-long discussion with them. And then the world premiere of the 53-minute documentary.
And so, after you watched the documentary, what was the kind of overall feel in the room?
It got a great response. So it was interesting because Leslie Iwerks was the moderator. And then they did the panel, and then they all left. Well, as soon as the movie was on, they just pushed us. They pushed us out of the room.
Wow.
So I was expecting a little like presentation before, movie, and then talk to, and then a discussion afterwards. But
yeah. So
okay. I would say my rating has gone down. So I had a rating right after I watched it. And last night I sort of fast forward through certain parts so I guess could refresh my memory. And my rating's gone down. So.
I would imagine after sitting in the room with the people and them. So what did they talk about? Did they talk about themselves or did they talk about the movie itself?
They talked about their worlds and their connection to the story. Sort of like there's the film and then moving the film into the 3D world where people are actually interacting with it.
So similar to what they talked about in the movie.
I think that's my initial reaction is I was getting more information and then I got to see it right after that. So,
yeah.
So,
by the way, let's, you know, for anybody that wants to see the panel that Steve was at, it is on Disney Plus. That panel is on there.
Yes.
So I haven't watched it, but I did see it was on there. I started it, and I only saw the first 2 minutes or something. But you can, if you watch this and it interests you and you want to deep dive a little more, and then wave at Steve in the audience.
Okay, so as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for Disney World Builders. Kate, what is your pixie dust rating?
I'm going to give it a 2.5. I liked there were it I feel like going any lower than that, because I did like certain little bits of it. I maybe could give it a 2. If Casey was like, oh, I really want to watch this, I probably would watch it with him, but I wouldn't go rewatch this on my own. So I'm going to give it a 2.5. Pete?
That's where I am. I mean, if you're a real fan of like the Disney IP more so than necessarily the parks, it's an interesting, as I said, the connection between the different creators and the parks. But understand it's about 50% of commercial.
Yeah.
But the commercial's intermittent.
Yeah.
Steve?
I'm at a 3. After seeing it, I was at 3.5, but now going back sort of off that high of being some of the first to see it, I'm down to a 3.
Yeah, and I am at, for me personally, it's a 2.5 with the caveat that, as Pete said, if you are interested in the IP and you're interested to see how some of the new stuff, especially not in the United States, but in around the world, has been developed, which I'm not sure why they don't bring some of that to the U.S., but like Frozen Land, I think, would make gazillions of dollars of money here. And not just what they've done in Norway, but actually the Frozen Land. Yeah. And even with Olaf falling over. but I would say it's a 2.5. I would be honest, it's right at the edge of a 2.5 to 3 for me, but my 3s are usually I will watch this again, and this will not get watched again by me. Even documentaries, I would have to at least be willing to watch it again. It's good. I don't need to spend another hour of my life doing this. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Just a couple things. First off, Disney's once again raising bundle prices for, quote, legacy users. This is the bundle that includes ad-free Disney Plus and limited ad Hulu and ESPN.
It's the level you get through Verizon, for one thing. Or if you've had it from the beginning through to Verizon, which I have, it's actually a level that they don't sell anymore, but they're not getting rid of.
And lastly, Venom the Last Dance will begin streaming on Disney Plus on Tuesday, August 25th. This completes the Venom trilogy being on the service. I didn't realize that there was anything Venom already on the service.
Apparently the other two already are.
Yeah, the Tom Hardy Venom movies.
Oh.
I,
news to me.
I've never been interested in Venom, so I haven't seen any of them.
Yeah, okay.
Venom is DC Comics, right?
No, Venom's
Marvel.
Venom's a Spider-Man villain, and in fact,
Spider-Man,
Raimi's Spider-Man 3 has Venom in it. They made this. This was Sony's. When Sony decided we're going to branch off and do a bunch of Spider-Man villain stuff, this was the first thing, and it was successful. So then they did like Morbius and Kraven the Hunter and several other things that all flopped hard.
Yeah.
And so they've peeled back, but they did make 3 Venom movies, which
have done
very well, to be honest.
Venom and Black Spider-Man the same thing?
No.
So
I don't think.
I don't know how far we want to get into it.
Not just yes or no.
When you see the Black Spider-Man suit, that's Venom attached to Peter Parker.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Trust me, that's more than all I needed to know. Okay. Next week, with high school, college, pro football getting ready to start, we are going to watch a movie that I actually couldn't believe we haven't watched in our last 5 years. We're going to Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Oh, it's so good.
I remember the Music City Miracle. Those are the Titans I remember.
Boo.
Well, and this will also be in honor of Hayden Panettiere, who was in this movie as a kid.
Yes, she was. So that will be next week. But if you have suggestions on what you want us to watch, there's not much coming out in September and October, so we need some suggestions. Please send us an email, plusfortune@gmail.com. Send us a message on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We answer all the messages you put out there. We have new episodes coming out Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.